Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning. So we came across, and of course, we've been following all of these stories very, very closely. A court, according to News 24, court dismisses bid by ex-Eskom manager Akhlakudi to have his tax fraud charges dropped. But this is not just a problem at Parastatals. It's a problem in every company. And it's interesting because some years ago, we had an office in Mauritius, and there was definitely something strange going on there. And on one of the trips that I was visiting the office there, somebody called me aside and said, I think there's something going on with so-and-so. And I said, why do you ask? Why would you say that? And they said, well, they've noticed a difference in how they're dressing. And they've noticed that they're no longer wearing fake T-shirts. They're wearing the real thing. They're going away often. And we started to look into it. And indeed, they were absolutely right. There was money going missing. And this was the way in which we managed to get to actually know which direction to look at. But it's a very, very difficult thing for people who are running companies to try and manage that and make sure that, in fact, they aren't falling victim to fraud and to theft. Joining us on the line is Chad Thomas. He is the Chief Executive Officer at IRS Forensic Investigations. He's also, of course, a radio presenter for the Confidential Brief Show here on Chai FM. It's an absolute privilege. I love chatting to Chad. Chad, good morning. How are you?
Howard, I'm great to you this morning.
Excellent. Thank you. So there are signs. I mean, there are things, but you've got to be really quite tuned. I would never have known to look at this particular person and say, oh, hold on a minute. Their style of dressing has changed. The other people in the office had noticed a shift. We hadn't noticed it, but the signs were there.
So Howard, you encapsulated one particular type of fraudster, which has become very prevalent. Now, a couple of years ago, we actually had a profile for a fraudster in a small to medium-sized company. It was normally a divorced woman. She was in a junior to middle management position. She was either in charge of human resources or debtors and creditors. She may have created ghost employees on the system. She may have created fake suppliers generated by fabricating certain documents, payments to these individuals or to these companies. And that's how the fraud would have been perpetrated. Her profile would have been that she was middle-aged to late 50s. As I said, widowed, divorced, or spinster. Generally had a gambling problem. Seemed like a very hard worker. Would always have her head down. Wasn't very social. Didn't take leave, because if she did take leave, obviously somebody would come in and perhaps uncover this. And this was a very prevalent type of fraud in South Africa, that we actually came up with such a profile.
It's so interesting because I'm even thinking in my late father's company, they had a couple of these types of incidents. And what you've just described is exactly the profile of the person.
And now it's changed. We still have those isolated cases of those particular individuals. But what we now have is a very outgoing type fraudster. We have an individual that wants to be sociable. You'll find that they may help people when they have problems within the organization. They're the go-to person. They may not necessarily be management. They may be quite junior, but they suave. They wear the clothes that you described. They drive the new little cars, like a little Polo or a little Golf.
Right.
But herein lies the problem. The fraud has changed. Although it's not an internal fraud, they're not doing it directly to benefit themselves, to support a gambling habit. It's now to support this new lifestyle. And more importantly, it's to provide information to syndicates. So what's become very prolific is organizations receiving emails that are changing banking details of their suppliers, or companies that are purchasing major products and money's held in escrow or trust. They're getting an email purportedly from either their supplier or an attorney, which knows exactly which transaction is taking place, references that transaction, and says, listen, our banking details are changed. Please, would you pay to this account? Meanwhile, it's a syndicate that's created an email address that looks to be the same as the email address you'd expect that email to come to. And the reason we know it's internal is that information could not be shared outside of that organization. The fraudster that's sending that information isn't necessarily a member of your team, but he received that information from a member of your team. So that the person that's providing that information is the person that's now living what we call a vida loca, living a lifestyle that would not normally be associated with their position within the organization. They're normally junior members, but like you rightly pointed out, they're wearing the latest fashion. It's not knockoffs. It's a genuine item. They're driving the latest little car. It may not necessarily be a sports car. It may not necessarily be a luxury car. But still, if you look at their lifestyle and you audit what they're earning, it doesn't match up. So fraud is very prolific. We have to look for those kind of guys. We had a case in Pretoria last year where there was a particular staff member who, if somebody had a transport problem, didn't just help them with transport money, but was actually loaning people cars. They opened a nightclub in one of the local areas, and they would hire staff members, family members who are unemployed, to work in this nightclub to earn extra revenue. If anybody was celebrating a birthday, they'd say, well, come to my nightclub. We're going to celebrate the birthday on the house. And nobody found this strange. This was so, what was so weird for us is here's this low-level employee who owns a nightclub, is able to lend people cars, and all he was doing was creating an intelligence network within the organization that he knew exactly what was going on, what type of deals were coming in, who the people were that were putting those deals together, who the lawyers were that were involved, who the banks were, so that he could pass this on to his masters in the syndicate. And that's become very prolific, this fraud involving fake change of banking details.
Yeah, it's interesting because Malcolm Gladwell in his book Talking to Strangers talks about this, is how we almost choose to delude ourselves because we don't want to see it.
I think that's the case, and I think a lot of us realize something's not right, but is it my place to point it out? And if I'm completely wrong, am I going to ostracize myself? It's almost like being the kid on the field at school. Mm. You don't want to be the one that's left alone to eat your lunch just because you've pointed something out. So you rather just go with the flow and hope that that gut feel is wrong, because all of us have a gut feel about somebody that's doing something incorrect.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. So that is that one of the bigger signs to watch for a change in behavior, lifestyle. And what's so interesting about what you're saying is that it actually resulted in generosity. In a positive, in a way, but obviously it's not, you know, it wasn't their money. They were stealing it, but they were still quite generous with it, even if it was just to buy, I guess, popularity.
So fraudsters have evolved, where it was that lady that was bent over the desk, working overtime, not taking holidays, so that she could fund her lifestyle, her gambling habit, or whatever it was that she needed those extra funds for. Fraudsters have evolved to the point that they now reinvest money from fraud into other people so that they can nurture those people to expand and further their fraud going forward.
How prevalent is it in South Africa?
Exceptionally so. Fraud in South Africa has reached an all-time high. Those same personality traits you could look for in respect to people who are now recruiting others to participate in the fraud without their knowledge would have been the same people that were looking for other forms of revenue prior to being approached by the syndicate. So you want to look for somebody who's not content with their lifestyle. And ambition is a great thing. But when you see somebody who's overly ambitious, but not in respect of the way they want to grow themselves within their organization or through studies, but they're ambitious in that they're not happy with their two-bedroom apartment. They now want a house with a swimming pool quicker than the norm. They're not happy with having the new polo for two months, they want to have the GTR 3 months down the line. Those are the warning signs. People are now beginning to live way above their means. There's this social construct that has now made it, because of social media, made it so obvious that you need to show how well you're doing, that people are taking far more chances than they did in the past.
Absolutely fascinating. What was also interesting, we don't unfortunately have any more time, but what was interesting here is when we went to this woman's family to see what was going on there, to see who was involved, the husband showed us that she had actually made certificates and said from the company, dear so-and-so, thank you for your hard work. Here's a weekend away at such and such a hotel. So she managed that in quite a sophisticated way that the husband wouldn't say to her, hold on a minute. What do you mean you booked for us to go away to this hotel? How do we afford it? So what she was showing him was that she had actually won things like that. So it was quite incredible when we started to look into it.
Fraudsters have an incredible imagination, and they're very good at what they do.
Yeah, Javi says, morning Howard, I also got caught in December and believe me, it was not for a small amount. It is absolutely soul destroying when this happens. Unfortunately, I could talk to you for hours about this, but we are out of time. Chad Thomas, Chief Executive Officer at IRS Forensic Investigations, also a radio presenter for the Confidential Brief show here at Chai FM. Absolutely urge you to listen to that show. Always something interesting to talk about. It is